Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to BLT, Business, Life, Transitions, the show that explores all the latest trends in your business, life, and our favorite topic, transitions. Hosted by Brian Basilico, the Director of Direction with B2B Interactive Marketing, and Jan Marino, CEO of High Gain Companies, Inc. And now it's time for some insightful conversation and interviews with your hosts, Brian and Jan.
Good morning, Jan.
That music always just makes me want to stand up and dance. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, you know, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, one of my friends posted on Facebook this morning. He's like, what's the song that gets you in the mood for, you know, motivating you for Monday? And it's like, mine was Let It Roll by Little Feat, but that's a motivational song, too, this one. It's just it's a nondescript song because it's stock music.
Speaking of music, did you watch the Grammys last night?
I did watch the Grammys last night.
And
it's always,
on a
always
scale of 1 to 10, isn't it?
It's always
isn't
interesting.
I mean, I was just floored by the range of music that they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, last year I fell asleep during it. I was just like, oh, yeah. But there was something about it this year. I mean, when I saw Tom Jones, I thought he was dead, honestly. And so, you know, he can still sing. And AC/DC,
oh, yeah.
Wow, they blew. I mean, they just... And then, you know, and then all these other people come that I don't even know their names, but the guy that won for Best New Performer I thought was fabulous. I mean, he's like a crooner. Like, he is really, that was great.
Yeah, no, he's really good. And you know, it's so funny about Tom Jones because my mother and dad used to go to Tom Jones and Engelbert Humperdinck concerts way back in the 60s.
In Vegas, probably, but
In New York and Vegas, both. I mean, they love those guys, and Tom Jones. I mean, I think my favorite Tom Jones moment was in the movie Mars Attacks.
Didn't know he was in Mars Attacks.
Oh yeah, he had a great part in Mars Attacks. It was fabulous. Yeah, no, the Grammys are always interesting, and of course, you know, Kanye West is Kanye West.
Is Kanye West.
Yeah,
yes.
Pretty, you know, he's always...
And, you know,
he's,
we have to, you have to have... anyway, it was just, you know, with showbiz, but it was interesting, and some of the... I loved the woman who showed up, her muse, and they both had the same wig on.
Yes.
I just thought that was just truly brilliant. It's like, okay, what's going on here?
Well, there's, you know, it's just, there's always weird fashion statements going on. I mean, I remember when Lady Gaga showed up in the egg and, you know, the meat dress.
So, anyway, I think the plastic surgeons of the world are doing well. And I think you could tell that from last night's foray. What do you think?
Oh, no, I agree. I agree. There's a lot of money in that out in California.
I mean, it's like they must have had a special on this, you know, procedure, and everybody got it because they all looked alike. But hey, don't send us any cards and letters.
Right. Exactly.
I mean it. So we are going to have a great interview today.
Yes, we are. And as a matter of fact, Keith just joined us. So,
oh, good.
I'm trying to get him on here. Let's see if this is going to work. There it goes. Hey, Keith, welcome to the show.
Good morning. How is everybody in Chicagoland?
Cold.
Fabulous.
We're cold.
We're
soggy
out here in California.
You guys really need it, though. Wow.
Yeah, we could use another 10 or 15 storms like this just to catch up to where we're supposed to be. We're at about 9.5, almost 10 inches of rain for the year. We normally get about 50.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Yes, I know it's been bad. So you were in, are you in Modesto?
Yes, we're in the heart of the Central Valley, about 75 miles east of San Francisco.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. All right. So I came across, you and I were connected on LinkedIn, and I was intrigued by your background because we focus on people who have successfully reinvented themselves and go on to make a difference, you know, in the workforce and how things are changing. And your story I thought was extremely interesting because you started out in like a military role, and then you've gone through a lot of iterations about, you know, the workforce and recruiting and marketing, and now, you know, now you're an educator, you're an author, and so that's why we wanted to have you on, so that you could tell us about, you know, where you started, and most importantly, what tips do you have to share with our listeners who are in transition or in a career reinvention? So that's why we're really glad to have you on the show.
Well, I appreciate the invitation. Gosh, this story starts out a long, long, long time ago. I was one of the very first members of the all-volunteer Army. As a matter of fact, there were five of us in my basic training company that were volunteers, and everybody else was among the last of the draftees.
Okay, so we're talking,
kids.
Yeah.
We're talking 40 years ago.
We're talking the 70s or the 60s?
Yeah, we're talking the
okay.
mid-70s. And
okay.
I had four cousins that went to Vietnam and came back in aluminum boxes.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
I'm so sorry.
And as a result of that, I decided that the last thing I wanted to do was kill anybody for a living, but I was willing to serve my country. Now, during Vietnam, my parents were adamantly opposed to it. Going even further back to the 1960s election, my
mm-hmm.
father was a precinct captain for Richard Nixon in Chicago.
Okay.
Wow.
This is during the election against Kennedy, and he wasn't a Republican.
Yeah, right.
It was because
right.
he was opposed to Mayor Daley and machine politics.
Yeah.
And we lived in Skokie at that point.
Okay.
Kind of the opposite way. So my parents mm-hmm. shipped me off to Israel to go to high school, in order to make sure I wasn't going to get drafted into the Army. And, of course, being over there, everybody's in the military. And
right.
as a result of that, I realized that I owed my country a debt just because I was an American. So when I came back to the United States, first thing I did was volunteer for the Army.
Okay. Interesting.
Served on active duty as a combat medic, was stationed in various places around the country, including Texas and Georgia and Colorado, and ended up
mm-hmm.
in Massachusetts for a few years and decided I really hated the snow. I knew there was a reason why we moved out of Chicago and
mm-hmm.
came back to California.
Okay.
Went back to college, discovered I was majoring in girls. Wasted a couple of years of my life, got recruited by a franchisee of Taco Bell, and within 3 weeks went from just an ordinary person to a store manager, and then ended up running three restaurants. Got robbed 13 times in 7 months, and the 13th time when the guy put the .357 Magnum up against my head and said, if you blink, I'm going to blow your brains out, I'd had enough. So I called
my
boss and I asked him for a raise. He offered me $50 a month. I gave him back his keys on the spot. Just wasn't enough to die for at that
no,
point. And meanwhile, I'd stayed in the Army Reserve, gotten promoted, and my unit commander called me up and said, how would you like to go on active duty and do some recruiting for us? Well, 3 years later, I was one of the number one recruiters in the Army, and then my girlfriend, who had gotten passed over for a promotion in the Army, she said, well, you ought to go talk to my headhunter. And I said, headhunter, little short guy, bone through nose, spear in hand. She says, not exactly.
No.
This is somebody that can help you find a job. Well, I was pretty intrigued, and so I went down to meet the fellow, and he says, so what are you going to do next? And I said, well, I had applied for flight school to learn how to fly helicopters. I said, I've really got a hankering to learn how to fly. And he says, well, you know, people in the military, all you're in there for is a welfare check. And this is somebody who had gone to high school, believe it or not, with Rush Limbaugh. He was from Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Okay.
Now, I don't know where you stand on Rush Limbaugh, but personally speaking, I don't listen to him. He's a little too far to the right for even Genghis Khan, I think. So
yeah, he's pretty far to the right.
Yeah, he's pretty far to the right. So I said,
he's
well,
so far
you know,
to the right,
like
he almost made
it
all the way around to the left.
Well, I'm definitely a lefty at this point in my life. I'm very fiscally conservative, but I'm a social liberal. So I said, well, let me think about it. And meanwhile, my orders are sitting there to go off to learn how to fly helicopters, and my girlfriend gave me an ultimatum, either me or the Army. Well, I let love guide me, unfortunately, I guess, because I went ahead and I signed myself out of the Army. I'd done all my time, and I said, I'm going to go ahead and do this. Well, 6 weeks later, she had failed at her new civilian career, but I had succeeded at the headhunting game, and I had gone to work for Management Recruiters International. They've got lots of offices in the Chicago area. They're a very, very successful franchise-based operation now. But I went to work at a corporate office, and I put in about 8 years altogether with Management Recruiters, and then I broke away out on my own. Did that for 8 years here in California, and unfortunately, I went from working in the field of engineering and started headhunting in the dot-com world.
Okay.
Well, the dot-com world was wonderful. It was amazing money to be made, or so I thought, until it was time to actually collect my placement fees, and I discovered that the dot-bomb implosion happened.
Okay.
It was a very large six-figure number for my accounts receivable. My accounts payable were also in the six-figure numbers, and ended up shutting down my business. Went back to college again. This is like the third iteration of this.
Mm-hmm.
But this time around, I was pretty focused because I managed to get a bachelor's degree in about 1 year, and then I backed it up with a teaching credential. And while I was going through the teaching credential program, I discovered that there weren't any jobs for teachers, social studies teachers, but luckily my master teacher turned me on to special education. And so I spent 3 more years while teaching full-time as a special day class teacher working with students with multiple disabilities, and completed a special ed credential. So I earned a single subject, a multiple subject credential, and a special ed credential. And then my pancreas exploded 8 years ago last week.
Wow.
Spent 5 days in intensive care. The doctor told me, if you don't get your act together, you've got 6 months to live. Eight years later, I'm still here. And it's been rather exciting because when I got out of education, I looked around for a job, and a friend of mine who was a senior-level executive with McClatchy Newspapers referred me to the local economic development agency and said, you ought to go talk to them. And so I went down to talk to the CEO, and he took one look at my resume and talked to me for a few minutes and says, I could use a guy like you. And I spent 5 years there until the organization changed strategic directions. They eliminated my department. Now, where I live, Stanislaus County is California's version of Appalachia.
Yes.
We don't have
yes.
any coal mines, but it's the other California, if you will.
Right.
Now, your listeners in Chicago are probably familiar with San Francisco, San Diego, Los Angeles, Hollywood, those type of places. I live in a place that has some of the richest farmland and some of the poorest people.
Right.
My community has about 525,000. We would be considered a small suburb in Chicago, in spite of the fact we've got 1,200 square miles. But 25% of our adult workforce can't pass a drug test.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
25% of our adult workforce is functionally illiterate.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 27% of our workforce lacks a high school diploma or GED.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 2012, 90% of the ads for jobs in Stanislaus County, and across the country, by the way, coincidentally, require at least a GED, if not a high school diploma or some sort of post-secondary training. In other words, 25% of our workforce can't get a job.
Right.
Now, we have a total workforce of approximately 200,000 people in the county, or 235,000 people. We've got 35,000 people that are basically unemployed. God knows how many more have fallen off the end of the unemployment
mm-hmm.
ranks and are no longer being counted.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went looking for a job, and of course, you know, I've got a graduate level education, I speak a couple of languages, I've traveled around the world 5 or 6 times, worked in the international arena as well as the national level business. When I got laid off, I went down to the local one-stop center that was run by the organization I used to work for. I work for the Workforce Investment Board.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through the training program, and the first thing they did was handed me a book that's 48 pages long, is basically a pamphlet. And the first thing it recommended in order to get a job, or one of the best ways to get a job, was to make 100 copies of my resume and mail it out.
Oh, yeah, that works really well.
Yeah, that works really well in the 21st century. Now, one of the things I did during my sojourn, or my time with the Economic Development / Workforce Development Board, was I wrote a comprehensive resource guide for local high school students.
Okay.
129 pages on how to succeed at life. As a matter of fact, one of the local newspaper reporters here called it "How to Google the Good Life." In other words, how to succeed in spite
right.
of yourself. Well, I managed to raise $52,000 from the local business community and printed 36,000 copies of the book and gave them all away.
Oh, that's great.
Now, I don't know how many lives I may have influenced, but it spurted
mm-hmm.
a germ in the back of my mind growing of, hey, this is something where I could take my brains and I can help other people. And
mm-hmm.
if nothing else, give myself something to do. So I started. So I got laid off on December 21st, 2012. Now, if you remember the Mayan prophecy, the whole world's going to come to an end, and I don't know about anybody else's. My paycheck came to an end, but the world was still there when I woke up
right.
the next morning.
Right.
And 2 days later, I got in my car in order to drive to San Francisco International Airport to pick up my beautiful 24-year-old daughter, who's an Army officer. And I drove across the valley, and as I crossed over the county line into the next county, the sun was shining, the sky was absolutely blue, beautiful cerulean blue, and the mountains are in front of me covered with golden
mm-hmm.
weeds, I guess. And I realized, I had an epiphany at that moment, that as I drove across the county line, I've left behind the troubles of this little community, and there's the whole rest of the world ahead of me. I'm unemployed. I've registered for unemployment. So on December 31st, the last business day of the year, I went down to the local one stop that my organization used to run and walked in the door, and our half of the building is dark, but the state EDD department, Employment Development Department office, was open. And I walked up to the clerk at the front, and she says, "How can I help you, sir?" And I said, "Well, I got laid off effective today, and I've registered for unemployment. What do I need to do?" And she says, "So what?" And I said, "What? What'd you say?" She says, "So what? So is everybody else here. You got laid off. Big deal." Well, that didn't sit too well with me, because as far as I was concerned, I was still the center of the universe. You know, that egocentrism that disappears
right,
when you're
right,
in, the,
right,
in kindergarten.
Right.
It's like, well,
right.
I need a job. And she says, "Well, we'll call you." They didn't call me for a month to come in for my first interview, but it's one of those things. So my
yeah.
wife and I, we had tickets to go on a 4-day cruise down to Ensenada. We drove down to L.A. or Long Beach, got on the boat. We started talking about what are we going to do for the rest of our lives. My wife says, "Well, have you ever thought about writing another book?" And I said, "Well, yeah, honey, I've thought about it." And she says, "Well, why don't you do it while you look for a job?" 2 years later, I've now written 4 books totaling 4,000 pages, 2,000 pages and about 1 million words. One of them is called The 21st Century Job Hunter's Guide. Mm-hmm. One of them is called The Baby Boomer Survival Manual. One of them is called Doing Life Outside, which is for ex-offenders, and one of them is called Getting Into the Game, and it's written for millennials. And each of the books contains basically a lot of the same information, but with generational references. For example, in the Baby Boomer Survival Manual, it starts off with LBJ, Westmoreland, and McNamara are all still dead, and gasoline is no longer 39 cents a gallon. In order to connect with my readers.
Right. So let me ask you something, Keith. Just backing up, and what our listeners are going to be interested in, because they're very interested in how you did all this and all of your accomplishments, and they're also very interested in the fact that you were able to reinvent yourself and keep that lifelong learning going. And how did you keep going, when there were such big obstacles in your way. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You had an epiphany, but even before that, you know, when you were in the service, and then, because it seems like you've gone and had this, you know, in hindsight, it looks like there was a nice plan, but in reality, we know that that's not true. So what would you say are some things that people really need to keep them going?
Well, the biggest thing I can tell you, and it's funny that you mentioned this and brought this up. In my whole life, I've had one day where I laid in bed and cried all day long, basically going, woe is me. You know when that day was?
Yesterday.
Of all days. No, I haven't had a life plan. I wish I had. I'm probably the most accidental person you've ever met. As a matter of fact, my mother doubted I was ever going to live to the age of 18, because if I stood in a crowd of 10,000 people and somebody threw a rock up in the air, 9 times out of 10, it would hit me in the head. I was so dangerous. You know, I've survived car crashes. I've survived a helicopter crash. I've been shot. In spite of all those things, the most important thing is that you got to pick up that right foot and put it in front of the left foot, and you start going. The most difficult part of any journey is the first step. During this last 2 years, while I've been writing a book, I've also been looking for a job every single day. I mean, Christmas, I was on the internet looking for a job, looking at Craigslist, looking at the Indeed, Beyond, et cetera. Whatever you do, if you're looking for a job, do yourself a favor. Don't post your resume on all of the job websites.
Right.
Don't do it.
Right.
Number one, you're opening yourself up to identity theft. I have gotten so many Nigerian princes that have offered to share me wealth beyond my wildest imagination. It's amazing. I've gotten in my email box this morning, I got emails from people claiming to be, let's see, who do we have here? Emma Watson, Katy Perry, who else do we have here? I'm just going down through the list, because there's 60 or 70 of these. Emma Stone, Sharon Stone.
And so these are all...
These are all spams, and they're let me improve your love life, and I'm waiting for you, et cetera. And it's like, well, how on earth did they get my email address? And the only place I put my email out there, except on my website or through LinkedIn, is having posted my resume on Beyond, et cetera. So don't put your resume out into the cyber world. 75% of all jobs are found through networking in some form
exactly.
or another.
Exactly.
You know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. So if you're looking for a job out there in Chicagoland, do yourself a favor and start talking to the people that you know and get involved in your community. I
mm-hmm.
donate
mm-hmm.
lots of my spare time to things like United Way, Special Olympics, my local Catholic church, and I'm not even Catholic, mind you. But I
uh-huh.
run a fall festival that's a major fundraiser for the local Catholic church down the street and the school attached to it. And the reason why I do that is because it's a school that helps kids. And if
right.
I don't do it, who will do
right.
it?
Who will do it?
If
exactly.
it's to be, it's up to me.
Yeah.
So by doing that, I've stayed in contact. I've stayed involved. But last
mm-hmm.
Thursday, I had a job interview with my former employer.
Mm.
Not the person that I worked for, but the person who took his place.
Uh-huh.
And it's a position with the local county government to oversee workforce development. And here I, you know, I've got 5 years with the agency on
right.
the nonprofit side. Well, I applied for a job, and they start off with, it was very formal, like all county interviews are. And it started off with, you've got 30 minutes to explain your background, and we've got 9 questions we're going to ask you, and there are 19 other people that are interviewing for this position. Well, when you hear numbers like that, you go, okay, 9 questions. It gives me about 3 minutes to answer any questions plus whatever time it takes them to ask it. And let me see, 19 other people plus me, that means 20 people. Well, if you look at 100% divided by 20, that means I got a 5% chance of getting this job. So I give it my best shot. Well, I'm sitting out there in the lobby waiting to get interviewed, and I was there 10 minutes early, like I preach in all of my books, show up early for the interview, and I sat there and watched the clock tick by. They didn't escort me into the room until 16 minutes of my 30 minutes had already disappeared, and I hadn't spoken a word, hadn't even met anybody yet. So I walk in the door. Here's the person who took my former boss's job as CEO, a friend of mine who works for the county, who runs one of the 5 agent county public sector agencies in the county, the former chairman of the board of supervisors, who's on the board of directors of the nonprofit that I used to work for, a vice president for the local community college who I worked with during that 5 years I was there, and some guy from another workforce board in another county who I'd never met before, but we shook hands and said howdy.
Hey, Keith,
okay.
we got just a couple of minutes left here, so I want to make sure that we wrap it up, but I also want to make sure that we get your contact info. So we're
not
down to 2 minutes.
At any rate, I got excused after 14 minutes in the room, and I said, but
okay.
I'm not done yet. And they said, yes, you are. And I said, okay, thank you. So when they tell you you're done, stand up and say thank you very much and get out the door. That's
yeah.
the best
right.
advice I can give.
Yeah.
So sorry about that. All right.
No, that's okay. So we just wanted to make sure that if people wanted to contact you, how do they get a hold of you?
Best way to do it is through my website. I have a company called Griffith Industries. I haven't made a penny at it yet. I seem to give more of my books away than I sell. It's Griffith Industries,
What's the email address? What's the address? Website address?
My email address is probably the best. My last
okay.
name, Griffith.Keith, K-E-I-T-H, at sbcglobal.net.
Awesome.
Great.
All right. Hey, Keith, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it, and people can reach out to you on LinkedIn like I did, too. So have a great day.
Thank you, Brian, and sorry
thanks.
I talked so much.
That's okay.
All
it's
right.
all good.
Thanks,
just we have a time limit, so we got to kind of put it. It was fabulous.
Yeah.
Understood.
So,
yeah.
Thanks,
sorry.
Keith.
Good stuff.
It's all good.
Bye.
Okay.
All right. Well, that was. I mean, what a story. That's incredible.
I know.
And we
know.
Only got about
incredible.
10 seconds here before I got to start the closing, but I just wanted to say, great interview and lots of great stuff. I think for our fans. So have a great week, Jan.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Okay, that's today's BLT, Business, Life, Transitions. You can contact Brian at bbasilico@me.com and Jan at jan.highgainco@gmail.com. Join us again next week for some more great insight about your business, your life, and your transitions. Till next time, thanks for tuning in.